whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's happened again in the office. One of those reply all emails that just does not stop. And this is over something nice. We congratulated Chris Fallar and his wife on beautiful baby girl.
I don't think there was anybody that wasn't happy for him.
Of course.
This is a, by default, congratulations. But if you're going to reply, reply to the individual.
Personalize it.
Yeah.
Don't just, hey, look at me. I'm joining in on the, I want to be seen. Reply all.
Hey, I'm better than you.
Texter says, other annoying office faux pas. The person who reheats fish from last night's dinner to eat for lunch, Neil in a car.
At least, I agree, but at least our microwave is in the very back of the building, so we don't have to, you know, smell it.
I think anything like bad smells, food, stealing food, stuff with food falls into this category too.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. Let's get to Chad in South Lyon. Chad, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Okay, so I'm a teacher in a local school district, and about 8 years ago, this was a huge problem, and I figured out a way to fix it. So what I started doing is every time someone hit a reply all, I would hit a reply all and send a picture of a heart. And then after a while, people started realizing what I was doing. So no one wanted to get the reply all heart. It totally eliminated reply all in our whole district.
So you're trolling them, and they knew it.
Yes. And so at first, everybody's like, what are you doing? And then they started realizing, and then they started laughing, and then no one wanted to get the reply all heart. That's what it's known as in our district.
You're a true leader. That's what true leaders do. They put a stop to something that's going on in, with a nice spin. That is a great move.
Chad, we salute you. Yeah. Appreciate the phone call. Let's get to Chris in Novi. Chris, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Love your show. Listen every morning. Thanks for what you guys do.
Thank you.
Reply all is the worst thing ever. I will say it creates this undue tension amongst people, too, because then there's always the people that are like, well, I can't be the only one that didn't reply now, so I have to say congrats. And that's when you get the 500 emails.
Right.
But I will say one thing in my own defense. Is I use Outlook for work, and the thing that sucks about Outlook is if there's multiple people on the email, it defaults to reply all. So you actually have to go in and select the reply only to the person, and I have sent a couple reply alls by mistake, and then I'm super embarrassed, and it sucks, and I should probably get the heart that the guy before me sent.
Yes. Yes, reply to sender only.
Reply to sender, yes.
Chris, thank appreciate the phone Love call. The appreciate you listening. Julie's in Oak Park. Julie, you're next up.
Happy New Year, guys. Let's go Lions.
Let's go Lions.
My pet peeve is when people do not use the subject line. I work quality assurance, so it's really important that I know what the hell somebody's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just get these emails with no subject line, multiple people involved, and then I have to scroll the entire email to figure out what they're talking about.
You know what? It's amazing, too, because I don't know. There are certain, you know, certain engines that you use that won't even allow you to, like, as soon as you hit send, it will tell you, hey, there's nothing in the subject line.
Yeah, yeah. This is possible. People, that's why it's there. Use it to tell somebody what the subject is about. Or if it's urgent, people don't tell you, you just end up with 50 emails that are urgent and you didn't even know it.
Without even knowing what's in there.
Yeah, sometimes it's an active choice
Correct.
To
Let's
send
go
without
Lions.
One. Go
yep,
Lions,
go
Julie.
Lions.
Appreciate
yep.
it. We're talking Lions coming up at 7:35. The latest news on the coaching search and general manager search. Another Lions name that we have to keep an eye on.
The other thing about the reply all, it's like there are certain individuals, it's a race to reply first.
Yep.
And it's just another virtue signal. Well, I care more about this email, our company, or this individual than anyone else.
Jared in Jackson texts us and says, my old job used to send out happy birthday emails or anniversary emails in the morning. I would look mid-morning and be surprised 30 or 40 emails from people all replying saying the same thing. Biggest pet peeve, good Lord.
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy 3-year work anniversary. Happy birthday.
Yeah, the work anniversary is the one that's hilarious. Oh, hey, congratulations. You made it 3 years without getting fired.
This text backs it up. It says, I get FOMO if I don't reply all. Because they feel like they're going to get judged for not being in the...
Right, yeah. It's the whole virtue signaling.
This one says, another workplace issue, the person who drinks the last cup of coffee without refilling the pot.
Yes, if you're going to leave it empty, and not only that, but they don't turn the coffee pot on, so you just have an empty coffee pot heating, and it just scorches to the bottom because there's always that few little drips.
More issues in the workplace, faux pas, you let us know. Let's get to Jeremy and Warren. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Good morning. First time, long time.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Hey, I just want to put blame where it belongs. It's on the sender. It's not on people replying. I deal with this all the time. It's real simple. When you send out the email, in this case, I would have CC'd Chris. I would have BCC'd everybody else in the department. That way, even if they hit reply all, it's not going to 40 different people. It's simple. It's easy. But let's put the blame where it's due. It's on the sender. Let's go Lions.
So if they're in the BCC, that means if you reply, they don't get it.
That's correct. So like I send out emails like this all the time where I have a team of about 30 employees, and I don't want this endless chain going back and forth. So what I'll do is if there's something important, like myself and my supervisor, I'll send it, I'll CC my supervisor. So if there is a reply, him and I will both get it. And then the 30 team members, if they reply to all, it will only go to me and my supervisor. That's it. Not everybody else.
There you go.
There's a solution. Let's go Lions, guys.
Yeah,
go
Lions, Jeremy. Yeah. See, that's a rule that I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. It's really handy. Like when I did birthday invitations for my daughter,
yeah,
I BCC'd everyone I invited. So they're not all getting, we'll be there. What can we bring? Like, it's okay. Just I only get the responses, but I do it. I don't have to go in and send 30 different individual emails.
Okay.
Smart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ticket texter says, coworker brought in clam chowder soup for lunch on Monday.
Chowder.
Faux pas. Mm-hmm. Stinky. This one says, I feel like... people who do it, it's a look at me behavior. The reply all guy. Look at me. I donated. Make it a unanimous, anonymous donation. That's Rob loading a truck in Belleville. They do it anonymously.
Yeah.
We got one more. Andy in Ida, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up? Good morning.
So I'm the reply all guy, but I do it on purpose. And just to make a few people laugh. There's like 5 or 6. That really get what I'm doing, and they laugh and call me an idiot, but most people have figured it out now. There's probably only 100 of us, but it's pretty fun. I usually throw somebody under a bus, make some kind of little joke that 5 or 6 people get. Nothing when it's important stuff, of course, but
yeah.
So it's kind of a fun thing to do.
You like to stir the pot.
Yeah, get people laughing in the morning, you know?
There you go.
So, you know, if somebody's, you know, missing something, be like, oh, I seen maybe so-and-so had 2 of them, you know, and just they know what I'm doing, but it's kind of funny. So, but yeah, go Lions.
Yeah, go Lions.
5 days. It's going to be a long 5 days. Let's go.
Yep, I know. Find out who we're playing.
Exactly.
Got a couple more good ticket text ones.
Yeah.
People who send read receipts. Oh, I could kill them.
Oh, to let you know that they've read. I don't bother me that much.
No, I'll read your email when I feel like reading it. And if I want to ignore it, I'll ignore it.
Oh, so they send you an email, and then as soon as you open it,
they know.
It would only be for time-sensitive documents with an attachment that might not come through where I'd be, okay, I understand that.
Is that something... I don't know that I've ever seen that.
Oh, it's been around a long time. Many people do it, but I did get one last week.
So can you, when it comes up and it pops up in your email box, does it actually say read receipt?
So when you try to close the email that they sent, it asks you, please confirm you and send a read receipt back to the person. So then they know when I closed their email.
Can you say no?
You know what? I really don't, off the top of my head, I think it depends on the email and what you can do or whatever. I don't know. It just... Get over yourself.
By default, I would have to say no.
Sending a read receipt on something that's not important and time sensitive is stupid. It makes it like your world and your answer is more important than anything else going on in life.
Right.
One more.
Yeah.
Prolonged meeting person.
Oh, they drag the meeting out?
Yeah, you're kind of wrapping up. Everybody's getting their laptop together. They're putting their phone, in their pocket or whatever.
One more question.
Yeah.
Oh, forgot about this. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yes. I think we just offended the whole office today.
That's all right.
Nobody's. Yeah,
they won't be here until 10 o'clock anyway.
Exactly.
All right, we got the two grand.
Where's our office?
It's in progress. We got the two grand slam coming up next, as well as Heather's news. It's 97.1. All right, guys, Kings of the North, it's the Detroit Lions. Let's toast to the Kings of the North with 1800 Tequila, the best taste in tequila and a proud partner of the Detroit Lions. Make sure you grab the limited edition Motor City Jersey bottle. It's on shelves now, and it's made for this Lions season. The bottle's design looks like those Motor City alternate jerseys the team wore against Minnesota when they clinched not only the North, but the one seed. Those bottles will be gone soon, so get yours wherever you normally buy 1800 Tequila and enjoy the number one super premium tequila as well as the taste of victory on game day. 1800 Tequila, Proximo Spirits, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly. Before the two grand slam, let's get to Heather's news.
Yeah, we got to talk about what's going on in California. At least 5 people have died in the wildfires that are just blazing in the Los Angeles area. Several wind-driven fires remain mostly uncontained. As of Wednesday, 7 fires were burning. The newest broke out. It's the Sunset Fire in the Hollywood Hills area. It's just so sad to hear. Evacuations obviously have been issued there. Thousands of homes and businesses destroyed. I mean, completely leveled in some areas. It's a wild scene to see the photos, to see the videos of what's going on there. Like, it's actually hard to really comprehend when you're not there living it. If you don't have family that live there, you see it, but it's just so sad. Millions are in the dark because there's no power as well. The Palisades fire broke out on Tuesday. It has exploded to more than 17,000 acres with zero containment. It's the most destructive fire ever in LA County. And that's the fire that has really impacted a lot of celebrities. That's what we're seeing a lot of, right? Because they're on social media. They're the ones with big voices that everyone can hear, right? I mean, tons of celebrities. Adam Brody, Anna Faris, Paris Hilton, James Wood, Billy Crystal, John Goodman, Miles Teller. I mean, the list goes on and on, who have lost their homes. Others had to be evacuated. I was watching a video. I follow Mandy Moore on social media, and she was able to evacuate with her family, but she said, I still don't know if my home is safe or if it's not. And it's, she said her kid's school, completely gone, burned to the ground. And it's just so sad. It's so sad to see what's going on there. So hopefully everyone else can get out. They do say they expect the death toll to rise, and they expect the worst is yet to come. So
yeah, I mean, especially since when you hear it's 0% contained. They're trying to do as much as they can, but it's just out of control.
So sad. Also sad, a Wayne State employee was fatally struck by a car on Woodward in Midtown Wednesday morning. According to Detroit police, 2 vehicles collided. This was at Woodward and Warren, and one of the vehicles involved then struck the pedestrian. There was a witness who was sitting at a red light, saw the whole thing, and said, I couldn't help but just start crying because you see the crash, you hear the crash, and then you see this person who was just standing.
Yeah.
Get hit, kind of caught in the middle there. Wayne State has confirmed that the victim was an employee, but has not identified them. And some better news. Amon-Ra St. Brown is teaming up with the Home Bakery in Rochester and is giving away 2 NFC divisional round playoff tickets. This is so cool. So the Home Bakery is the bakery that went viral for creating this life-size cake of him. Upside down, headstand. In fact, the whole display, they said, is edible. I mean, it's a really cool display. Got to go check it out. Well, he announced on his podcast that not only is he going to go make a stop at the bakery, because he says he's got to give it a try, right? He's got to taste some of the things. Anyone who goes to the bakery and makes a purchase between January 13th and the 16th will automatically be entered in a drawing to win the tickets, and the winner will be announced on January 17th.
Awesome.
So cool. And such great news for this bakery, right? Getting so, and the goal, I'm sure, obviously, was to draw some attention, right? But also, just create this cool window display and show, like, we're rooting for the Lions. We are in it with you guys. It wasn't necessarily to drive this much traffic, but it is, and it's great for them.
It's going
to
be amazing for them. Yeah.
Really, really cool. Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck have finalized their divorce. They finalized it on Monday. And as expected, she is keeping the $5.6 million engagement ring. And supposedly, she keeps all of her rings, which means she now has a collection of 6 engagement rings worth an estimated $17 million.
That's unbelievable.
I think the law is different in different states, but shouldn't she give back the ring if you're not going to get married? Isn't that the purpose of the ring?
I'm
giving this to you and we're going to spend the rest of our lives
together.
When you
hear this and you I think of her and how expensive this ring is, $5.6 million. Yes, you didn't make it to the altar. Maybe give it back to the man who proposed to you.
So you keep it if you've made it to the altar and spent some time together.
Yes.
But if you don't make it, you give it back.
I think that's how you should do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's as many rings as Michael Jordan.
She's got a lot of money sitting in a jewelry box somewhere, which is pretty crazy. If you're a coffee drinker, I've got some good news for you. A study found that you're going to live longer than most people, but only if you stop drinking it by noon. So you got to be a morning coffee drinker only. Scientists tracked people's health for 10 years and split them into 3 categories. So it was the people who drank only coffee in the morning, mm-hmm. people who drank it all day long, and then people who didn't drink coffee at all. And the morning coffee drinkers had 16% lower risk of dying for any reason and a 31% lower risk of dying from heart disease compared to the non-coffee groups. But the benefits disappeared for people who drank coffee all day.
Hmm. Well, I used to drink coffee all day. I don't generally anymore unless it's a, you know, I want one, like a cup after dinner, which is kind of a rare occasion. But yeah, I love my morning coffee.
So, hey.
I got you. Yeah, I got it shot.
I need to start incorporating. I wonder where the Red Bull drinkers fall. Early grave. That's where I'm at.
Yes, could be.
Early grave.
I mean, uh-huh. It's not healthy.
They trip and fall in, is what you're saying. Yeah.
Woo, but we bounce right back up. Gives us wings, right?
Yeah.
And that's Heather with the news. All right, guys, it's time to give away some money.
All right, let's give away some money. Let's have a redo. It didn't go so well on Tuesday. So we're going to say, like, this is our first.
Yes.
Our first two Grand Slam. Yeah, yes. Let's do it. Who do we got?
We have Phil in Livonia. Yeah. Phil, good morning.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Hey, Phil. All right, I'm going to go over the rules. You're going to get 60 seconds, 10 questions. If you don't know one, make sure you pass pretty quickly. And if there's time, we'll get back to it. You're going to get $25 for each question you answer correctly, $2,000 if you can get them all right.
Phil, are you confident that you have good service on your phone right now?
Yes, I surely hope so.
Okay.
All right.
Here we go.
Let's do this. Your time is going to start as soon as I start reading the first question. Here we go, Phil. Who did the Vikings lose to this season besides the Lions?
Oh, fast.
This Detroit Lion wears jersey number 26.
Very good.
Who is Penn State playing in the CFP tonight?
Notre Dame.
Who played Ricky Vaughn in the movie Major League?
Charlie Sheen.
What jersey number does A.J. Hinch wear as manager of the Tigers?
Fat.
This artist had the 2024 hit Espresso.
Fat.
The Los Angeles Raiders fired this head coach on Tuesday.
Pierce.
Who did the Pistons play last night?
Brooklyn Nets.
What is the capital of Oregon?
Portland.
Who is the 6th seed in the NFC playoffs?
Pass.
Who did the Vikings lose to this season besides the Lions?
Raiders.
What jersey number... all right. What do you get?
We got five.
Five.
50%, yeah. Hey, that's not a bad job. It's a
respectable showing, yeah.
I'm disappointed I didn't get the Vikings on.
It's tough.
Yeah, I mean, they had one other loss other than the Lions.
And the answer did start with an R. It's the Rams, who they're going to play this week. It's all good, Phil.
Yep.
We'll put you on hold. We'll make sure we get you paid. That's $125. And, yeah. Not a bad showing.
No, not a bad showing.
Great
respectable.
Work, Phil.
Yes. And so we obviously went over number one. It was the Rams that the Vikings lost to. He got Jahmyr Gibbs, Notre Dame, and Charlie Sheen right for 2, 3, and 4.
Eating up.
Mm-hmm. AJ Hinch. That was a tough one.
It's tough. I mean, baseball manager number.
Right. They all have manager. They all have numbers. But
14.
Mm-hmm.
John, you didn't know the answer to number six. The artist that had the 2024 hit, Espresso.
No, I wouldn't even be able to guess.
Heather?
I know it. Sabrina Carpenter.
She's
it's
everywhere.
On all the time.
You got daughters. They don't listen to Sabrina Carpenter?
No. My daughters are now of the age that they rarely travel
with
in
dad's
truck. Yeah. So I get the chance to listen to what I want to listen to. And it's not Sabrina Carpenter.
The Raiders fired Antonio Pierce. Got that right. Mm-hmm. The Pistons not only played, but took care of business against the Brooklyn Nets yesterday. Got that one right. Mm-hmm. The capital of Oregon.
Great guess, because you and I both thought they might say Eugene, and he guessed Portland, but wrong. It is Salem.
Who is the sixth seed in the NFC playoffs?
Tough one, but I thought maybe they would he would just guess an NFC team, hopefully one that is in the playoffs, and not the Lions, because we know the Lions are the one seed. The Commanders.
Yes.
Sixth seed.
A popular upset pick.
Yes, it is.
Good matchup with the Bucks. We'll have that in the picks tomorrow.
Could be who the Lions play.
And we'll also talk about that a little more tomorrow. Who do you want? It could be any of four teams for the Lions in that divisional round. Commanders, Rams, Vikings, or potentially the Packers. Your next chance to win the two Grand Slam is next Tuesday at 7:25. It's 97.1. Good morning, 97.1. Good morning to a bunch of winners. All we do in 25 is win. Pistons win last night. That's 5 in a row. The Wings haven't lost in the calendar year. And, the Lions are the Lions. They had a huge win on Sunday. Undefeated are Detroit teams in 2025. So good morning to the winners out there. We're going to talk a little bit of Lions football here. Nobody's going to complain about that. 802, a Lions topic inspired by Heather's news yesterday. Some debate going back and forth online. Mm-hmm. But, John, let's talk about these coaches that may leave and executives that may leave now. That's the latest. We know Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson are going to be hot commodities. Apparently so is Chris Spielman. You see this?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. When you hear that, we've heard it for a couple of years now, whether it's members of the front office that are under the guidance and tutelage of Brad Holmes, who has had great success since he's been a GM, coaches under Dan Campbell, players, either coveted or players that want to come here, everybody wants a slice of success. And Detroit is having a lot of success right now. So Chris Spielman, going to interview with the New York Jets. Not surprised at all. I mean, his brother was a GM with the Vikings for a while. His brother, I think, is actually somewhat involved with the Jets organization.
I think he may be consulting in the search. Yeah.
It makes complete sense. And I think Chris even talked about, like, in the future, he would like to be a general manager. I think he mentioned that a few years ago. And he has gone through all of the steps of learning what it would take so that he's not just a guy going from, hey, former player, media personality, to general manager. He actually did the work and has done it. From what we know and can see from the outside, it feels like he's been a part of what this culture is now. He was a part of hiring Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, and so it makes all the sense in the world.
I was initially caught off guard because when Brad Holmes was hired, people brought up Spielman, and Spielman was quoted at the time as saying he didn't feel he was qualified and said, I was not interested in being the general manager. Now, things change. He has every right to have earned some more qualifications and feel better about running an organization, but I didn't even put him on a radar, but it makes sense, right?
It makes all the sense in the world. And Chris is a guy that is going to dot the I's, cross the T's. He's going to make sure he's ready and as prepared as possible for anything that he does. It's part of his DNA. And we know we saw that as a player. We've seen that in so many different ways. And when we've got a chance to talk to Jimmy, who worked with Chris on the media side of things.
Yeah, when he was in Columbus.
And the work ethic is there. And you... you want to make sure that you're prepared so that you set yourself up for success. When he says, hey, I'm not ready to be a GM, I don't have the qualifications, he has spent the last 4 years attaining the experience from watching Brad Holmes, from watching the front office, from watching Sheila, and all the different things that you've got to do or have your hands in. When we were looking for a general manager here, Brad Holmes, what was part of the topic is it's a really hard position to fill because there, if you're a good GM, you're unavailable. Mm-hmm. All the guys that get new GM jobs, it's learning on the job because there's so many different things you have to do. Now he's taken his time to learn and watch and take notes. This is what I would do. This is how I'd do it differently.
He's deserving of the interviews, and if a team hires him, I mean, his resume speaks for itself in the sense that, I mean, his brother was a GM. He has worked inside an organization that has been wildly successful, has drafted and developed a culture. Yeah, he makes sense as a candidate. Now, the question is this a big deal for the Lions if they lose him?
I'm of the mindset, and I've said this the last couple of days. Do I think Spielman is great? Do I think Ben Johnson is great? Do I think Aaron Glenn is great? Yep. Do I think they are the greatest in NFL history? No. I don't know necessarily who that would be for a consultant to an organization, but it doesn't mean that you can't find somebody else that can do what Chris Spielman does. It doesn't mean you can't find another coordinator on either side of the ball. And are the chances there that it might not go well? Sure. We saw it with the Eagles. Are the chances there that maybe there's somebody better? That is also a part of the equation.
I think the big thing, too, is if you're a winning organization, you got to get used to this. Right, John?
Yeah. If you win, like I mentioned, leading up to this, when you have success, the New England way. How many times did we hear that here and wanted to vomit? How many times have we seen, whether it was Josh McDaniels or, any guy hired from the Belichick tree, that they were going to come in, whether it was general manager or coach, and bring the success from New England to the next organization? It doesn't always translate to success, but everybody wants a slice of the pie. They want a slice of, and maybe it does translate. That's what they're looking for. The reason teams are looking for general managers or coaches is because things haven't gone well.
Big deal or no big deal? Chris Spielman interviewing for the Jets general manager job. I think a lot of people here give him credit, even though he's not the general manager or the head coach. I mean, when we did the Thursday touchdown on the medal stand, he got your...
he did not, get your from me.
Tom gave him a medal.
Yeah.
He's not the GM. He's not the head coach. Those are the pillar positions of an organization. And if you're a really good organization and you plan to be a good organization for a long time, you will lose good people underneath them, mm-hmm. and you will have to replace them. Well, that's just the reality.
And then it becomes all about your hiring practices.
Yeah.
And I know Tom gave Sheila the gold, right, mm-hmm. Tom? I think it was, yeah, yes. He gave Sheila the gold. And she obviously has good hiring practices through one round of hiring. And so she brought in Chris Spielman, who then helped set the tone for this organization with the hiring of Dan Campbell and then Brad Holmes. And how much he's been involved in all of the decisions, I'm sure at some point, on some level, all of them. But we don't necessarily know. It's kind of the gray area. But you've got to have good hiring practices. So if he leaves, what are the hiring practices of Sheila Hamp Ford? Can she hire somebody to fill that role?
But I don't even know. Is she hiring? I think Brad's probably spearheading that, right?
Like, well, she's the one that brought in Chris.
Yeah.
So but I just mean,
the head football decision maker for the Detroit Lions is Brad Holmes, right?
Right.
I mean, he is the highest ranking football mind in the organization. This is a person who would, in theory, be replacing
Chris. The highest
Chris would be,
football mind, but not the highest in the organization.
Correct. So, Sheila's going to sign the paycheck, but in terms of like who's going to vet this candidate, I would trust Brad to do that, wouldn't
sure.
you? Yeah.
I think there's a great comparison here. I love John's opinion, especially on this. Look, he did what he's supposed to do, Spielman. He was brought in as a special assistant, and yep. this is done in business sometimes. It's done in the sports world, to advise. And I think the comparison might be Jim Hackett with
yeah.
Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
He was brought in to make the football program succeed again, and he was huge in pursuing Jim Harbaugh.
So again, it comes to hiring practices. And when you lose a valued employee, and it might not be one individual that's hired to replace that valued employee, it could be a couple.
This phone call, I think, is going to connect some dots for people. Matthew in Gibraltar, big deal or no big deal? Spielman interviewing for the Jets GM job.
I don't think it's a big deal. I think it's a great opportunity for Chris Spielman. And I think the Jets would be stupid to not hire him, because I think along with Chris Spielman, he could bring in Aaron Glenn. And then you'd have a GM head coach connection like we have here. And then that would kind of allow us to maybe hire the best defensive mind out there in Rex Ryan to be our next defensive coordinator.
Rex, Robert Saleh. I mean, there's a lot of good defensive minds out there.
Robert Saleh as well, but I do think that we're going to be keeping Ben Johnson. I think Sheila's going to offer him too much money.
Well, I like where your head's at, but I think you bring up a good point though. If one of these coordinators is looking for a good situation, if Chris Spielman goes to be the general manager, he could bring either of these guys as his head coach, and then
but
you
Chris
do have
Spielman,
that
defensive mind, defensive player.
I'm not gonna. Defensive player.
Him,
I'm not gonna pigeonhole him into defensive mind. I'm pigeonholing him into a great football mind.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I don't think we'd be even close to where we were if it wasn't for him. So I agree with you 100% on that.
Yeah.
Appreciate connecting the dots, because that's one thing we had talked about off air, is does this not make it more likely the Jets hire one of the Lions assistants? Maybe that's why it's a big deal. I don't think losing Chris Spielman in and of itself is going to be a huge loss. I trust Brad Holmes to spearhead.
If there's a pair.
But if you lose two at once to the same organization, then it's a domino effect.
Yeah, I don't think this would be a huge deal if he left. He did his job.
Yeah.
He changed the culture of the Detroit Lions. He told Sheila, this is how you do it. And then it was part of the process in hiring both Campbell and Holmes. And now I don't think losing him. I think who he would take might be a bigger deal. Like,
who do you want him to take?
Holmes's right-handed man. You know, that would be hurtful in terms of the scouting player.
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff. You know, if he takes Glenn with him, my reaction would kind of be, okay, I get it. If he took Ben Johnson with him, I'd be a little mad at him. You know, it's like, to me, that would be the bigger deal.
Who do you want him to take? Actually, why don't we answer that next? Because there's a lot of moving parts going on right now. We'll take some more phone calls. 248-539-9797. You know Aaron Glenn's interviewing for every job. Ben Johnson is going to be everybody's favorite pick. Those guys are potentially leaving after this season. Chris Spielman, add him to the list. It's 97.1. Some of you may be caught off guard. You know Aaron Glenn's going to interview for jobs. You know Ben Johnson's going to interview for jobs. But Chris Spielman? Oh, yeah. He's interviewing for the general manager job with the New York Jets. And he did not want the general manager job when Brad Holmes was hired. He said he wasn't qualified. It was humble. He said, I'll help any way I can. And along the way, John, I think he's learned some things that make him an interesting general manager candidate. See, that's how it's supposed to work. You're selfless. You're humble. You work. The organization benefits, and now he has a chance to take that skill set and be a general manager just like his brother was. We've asked the question, is this a big deal to lose Chris Spielman? And if he's hired with the Jets, he may take Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn. Who would you want him to take if he's going to steal one of the coordinators? 248-539-9797.
Well, there's a traditional way of doing things, and I think we could all believe that Chris Spielman is a traditional individual where, hey, you set a goal and then you map a path to attain that goal. And I don't know if 5 years ago, 4 years ago, did he set a goal that says, eventually I do want to be a general manager in the NFL. And, you know, if it's with the Lions, great. If it's not, then there's 31 other organizations. He played for more than just the Lions. And so he set a goal and then mapped the path to attain that goal. I think it's life 101. And I mean, there are so many people that want to skip steps, and it sounds like he was given the opportunity to skip some of those steps.
Yep.
And you know, if Sheila did offer him the general manager spot and he humbly said, no, I'm not ready for it. It's not something that I'm prepared to do at this time. But he did say, I'd like to be a part of the organization and learn and figure out what it takes so that when I do get that opportunity, I am best prepared. Doesn't mean it's going to be successful. I think we all believe he will be a successful general manager, but he mapped a path. He's taken that route. And now all of a sudden, I don't think it wasn't a surprise to me when, I mean, I don't know if it was you or if it was Tom that sent the text that says, hey, he's interviewing for the Jets job. Not surprised.
I was only surprised in the sense that his previous quotes hadn't indicated this ambition to be a general manager at that time. And that, again, that was 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's not an assistant GM. He's in this unique consulting special assistant role that didn't exactly put him in like a GM in waiting. But it makes sense. He's a football guy. He's helped build the culture here. A lot of people give him credit. Mm-hmm. Not sole credit, but a lot of people give him credit for identifying Campbell and Holmes and helping unite the two of them and being kind of in the shadows, a subtle guy nudging the culture along with the heavy hitters, Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. Here's what I come back to. They're going to lose coordinators and members of their front office. If Brad Holmes is the general manager we think he is, things are going to be just fine. He'll replace them. They'll keep drafting well. They'll stay atop the league. If Dan Campbell is the culture builder, leader, identifier of good people, he'll replace his coordinators and they'll be just fine.
Sure.
If they're the people we think they are, there's nothing to be afraid of. I don't like losing them because it disrupts continuity, but I'm not concerned. Now, the question of who would I rather leave? Glenn.
Sure. I mean, yeah, I think defensively, most people feel this is an offense-driven league.
And the team is specifically driven by their offense.
Yes. And we like and appreciate everything that Aaron Glenn has done. I think his intensity is something that is underrated. We talk about Dan Campbell's intensity. Ben Johnson doesn't, at least on the surface, doesn't appear to have the same persona, I guess you might say, as an Aaron Glenn, who is a little bit more fiery on the sidelines, and same with Dan. But, you know, I don't know that people would view that as big of a loss as losing Ben Johnson. But here's the other thing is you talk about Dan Campbell identifying. Not everybody that gets hired is going to be the right hire. And I say that because he initially hired Anthony Lynn as the offensive coordinator.
But I would say, and I know you're going here, more important is identifying when it doesn't work and swiftly making those changes, which is what he did with Lynn.
Right. So so far, he's 2 out of 3. And he's fired other assistant coaches along the way.
Aubrey Pleasant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's 2 out of 3 because he identified Aaron Glenn, and he stuck with Aaron Glenn. Because remember, 2 years ago, people were questioning Aaron Glenn and his ability to coordinate a defense. He stuck with him because he knew what he had. He knew what he was seeing, and given more tools, was going to get better results. Now, all of a sudden, you know, Anthony Lynn comes in as the offensive coordinator, and he's not following what Dan Campbell wants. So he takes play calling away, eventually gives it to Ben Johnson in the following season. And so, and that was a home run. That was a guy that he inherited from the previous staff, kept him, and then eventually promoted.
Yeah, I think about it at the college level. Like, Nick Saban had to swap out coordinators damn near every other year. And if you are the driving force, and I think Campbell is, you're not going to bat 1,000. Not every Saban coordinator hit, but you're going to set the tone and you're going to make tweaks and you're going to make changes. And he's shown that he can run a staff. I don't think there's any fear in Dan Campbell replacing either coordinator.
Right.
My preference would be to keep Ben Johnson of the two. And they may lose both, but Ben Johnson, I think, is the driving force of this offense.
I think you bring up a great comparison of Saban always replacing coordinators, especially offensive coordinators, where, you know, whether it was
Kiffin at one point,
Kiffin,
Sark,
Mike Locksley, who's now at Maryland. Like, doesn't mean they're going to go on to have success, but they had success while they were there under the guidance of the leader of that program. In college, it was Nick Saban. For us here in Detroit, it's Dan Campbell.
Let's get to the phones. 248-539-9797. Lynn in Detroit, you're on 97.1.
Good morning. You know, I appreciate that you're putting such a positive spin on everything, but at the end of the day, it's not definitely it's a, we have a winning formula that's getting broken up before the winning even before we even get to a Super Bowl. When Harbaugh took everybody with him, look how that turned out. Now, I know there's a lot of other factors that go with that, but that looked really bad. That's been detrimental to the program, to everything. It's been negative. And, you know, these guys, if they all leave, they're a big part of why we are where we are. Yeah, Campbell's on top, Holmes. Yeah, we all get all that. But these other guys have a big factor, too. And we all saw Michigan's humble.
Well, so when Jim Harbaugh left, he was the leader. And you brought it up there at the very end. It's not like Brad Holmes is leaving or Dan Campbell is leaving. Those main parts are still in place. Those are the guys that are making decisions. Decisions were made by Jim Harbaugh. And when he left, you're the leader, the general manager, the coach is all leaving at the same time.
Yeah, that's how I look at it, too. You took the words out of my mouth. When you lose the leader, that's more significant. Dan Campbell's going to have to replace coordinators if he's going to be here for a long time. And he and Brad Holmes just signed extensions a year ago. They're going to be here for a long time. Joe and Gross Eel, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Of the three that you mentioned, I'll rank them in order of likelihood of leaving. I think Spielman, I don't think he's going to get hired. He's more of a president at football operations in waiting. He's such a unicorn and Swiss Army knife. As for Ben Johnson, he's 51% gone. I mean, I want him to stay of the three the most. For Aaron Glenn, he's probably 90% gone. And if either of those coordinators leave, it pulls the curtain back on exactly who is in waiting if our assistant coaches. Because the coordinators get so much of the oxygen. I don't know that we have a position coach that's ready to jump in. I wouldn't mind Robert Saleh as our defensive coordinator at all. It makes sense for him to come home and do that. But I just can't see Spielman jumping into a general manager's role, and Ben Johnson needs to stay.
Well, Joe, I mean, yeah, we would love to have Ben Johnson stay. If he's not, there are some guys on the staff, whether it's Tanner Engstrom, Mark Brunell, that could be promoted to that position. Defensively, I'm sure there are some qualified candidates, guys that would interview for it that are currently on the staff. I think that's the one side of the ball that you could see them going outside to hire somebody to come in and coach.
So if Spielman were to get the Jets job and hire Aaron Glenn.
And I think he'd be a great general manager. I disagree with the last caller.
And hire Aaron Glenn, which is what another caller brought up. Glenn would probably want to hire some of his own guys from his defense right now.
Possible.
And probably promote one of them to DC. So that's one less guy that, unless you're promoting him to DC, and now it becomes this competition to keep players or coaches on your staff.
Right. As an assistant coach, that becomes a very tough decision.
Yeah.
Because of the way things have operated with the Jets. Is that an organization you want to go to?
Yeah. And on the Saleh front, by the way, the latest, the Niners are set to offer him their open defensive coordinator position. He previously ran their defense before. So if people bring him up, that's something to keep in mind. Phone calls, ticket text, 248-539-9797. Spielman interviewing for the Jets job. You've got Glenn and Ben Johnson. Everybody's raiding the Lions. How do you feel about it? It's 97.1.